You get the impression there's this wealth of knowledge that God is waiting to give us in this life a little, in the next world beyond belief, that God is going to share with us his own knowledge, the Creator. This is an amazing thing. And yet, he says, but you can't bear to hear it now. That this line reminds me of a wedding a little bit. I want to say that at a wedding. I have much more to tell you, but you can't bear it right now. And we got an ordination here in 2 weeks, Deacon James. The bishop might as well read this, you know, much more to tell you, but you wouldn't believe it if I told you, you know. And a lot of that involves suffering. And this is the thing that we're constantly confronted with, not just direct suffering, but the interruption of our plans, the things don't go the way we think. God has a plan. It often shows up, and we see it, but we get these detours on the road of life or road stops or accidents, or we get lost. And yet the Holy Spirit is guiding everything. I want to call your attention to the second reading, which is each of these readings was talking about the Trinity. And St. Paul says, I rejoice in my sufferings, and not only that, we boast of our afflictions. And then there's a trinity of things that flowed out of his afflictions. We know he had a lot of them. And he said, because my affliction has produced endurance. Endurance has proven my character, made my character grow. And my character has given me hope. And the hope does not disappoint, because that invites the Holy Spirit in and leads me to eternal life. So this is the dynamic that is occurring within us. St. Paul might very easily have said, Lord, was it really necessary for me to have a shipwreck? Have I not been suffering enough? Did I have to be stoned 3 times? Did I have to be let out of a basket from a wall to escape an ethnarch somewhere? Not to mention many other things. But St. Paul boasts of these because he saw fruits that endure. The risk, of course, that God takes is that we're going to go the other way. Bitterness, leaving him, losing faith. And this is because we're free beings. We're not plants. We're more than the animals of the earth. We have the nature of God. And that means that I have a choice to make when things don't go my way. So anyway, this retreat I was on 2 weeks ago, it was a gold mine of insights. And, you know, I flew into LAX and planning to go out to the desert, which is about an hour and a half from there. I used to live there for many, many years. As I fly in, I can see places I used to live, where I went to school, went to college, where I worked, where I worshipped. And really, I'd rather not fly in there. It's kind of creepy in a way. But that just happens to be the area where you fly into, LAX. So I wasn't looking at that. I was looking at the freeway to see what the status of the freeway is there. This freeway, if you're familiar with LA, the San Diego Freeway right there at the airport is considered, that stretch, the South Bay, is considered the busiest and most congested highway in the United States. These days it has 8 lanes in each direction. When I was there, there were 4 lanes. And I can tell you, it doesn't work any better with 8 lanes than it did with 4. 9 o'clock at night, nothing's moving in either direction. 16 lanes of traffic going nowhere. And you know what I said when I got on that freeway? Well, that was a matter of confession. Actually, I was prepared for that. And I thought, you know, I know where I'm going. There's a place for me when I get there. I just got my rosary out, and I was just meditating on the freeway. It was actually a very fruitful period because I was ready for it. But oftentimes we're not ready. It actually lasted an hour. I saw no reason for it other than there were too many people living there. Why didn't some of them move away like I did? I sat there thinking, oh, pray, I'm so glad I don't live here anymore. Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord. But it was a good experience. And as I traveled, I meditated on it. I thought, you know, where are all these people going? We're all in individual cars, but we're on the same road. We're constrained to go together. We can't go anywhere we want. We have to follow the roadway. And there are many other people. We have every kind of belief along with us, maybe not here this morning, but in the rest of our lives, people that don't believe, people that are hostile, other religions, everybody's got a different path in life, different exits, but we all have the same end. And we're all traveling together. And so often, life has a way of stopping us. In that part of the world, you're either going 80 miles an hour or you're not moving at all. It's great when you're going 80, isn't it? Not that anybody does that here, but down there you do. 70 maybe, right? And but it's great when you're going fast, everything's going great, but maybe you're going in the wrong direction. We can go too fast in life. And God has plans for us. It's praise God when things are going our way, but soon enough we come to the inevitable road stoppages, and we find ourselves caught in traffic. An illness, a sickness, a death in the family, loss of job, any one of a number of things. Something's not going right in our lives. We're not getting what we want. We're not going in the right direction. Maybe you had plans last week to do something outdoors. It was not a good week for that. We never know around here what's going to happen with the weather. National tragedies, you know. These things happen. But they're small things that bother us too. And this is where St. Paul's lesson comes in. This affliction is meant for my growth and God's glory. The truth is, we learn more from the times when the road is stopped against our will than when everything's going our way. And it happens on a regular basis. All of us were in the road together there. We all had different ways of coping with it. People there are used to it. It kind of reminded me of the story of that frog that was slowly boiling in water and didn't realize he was dying. If people there don't realize they're being congested to death. The system doesn't work anymore. But they're too used to it. And God stops us and says, do you know where you're going? You know, you get an illness, had that backache and the flu at the beginning of Lent, and God stopped me and he says, you know, you're not going any further. I don't care what your plans are. You are stopped. And you have to learn. God's in control. Every day is a gift, even this suffering. The suffering can then prove our character, give us endurance, lead to hope, leads to insight. There's more insight there than when things are going my way. Because we only have this life in order to grow in the image of God. And most of that is found in the exits from the highway. You don't see much when you're on the freeway. You have to get off to see. And God regularly pulls us off our own journey so that we can follow his. This reminded me a lot of my grandfather who raised me up. I grew up I was actually born in Ohio. I spent a number of my formative years in Akron. Every one of my grandparents worked for a different rubber company, you know, and that was what people did there. So my dad worked for Goodrich, and he was an executive. He got transferred to a number of different places, so I've lived in several parts of the country growing up. The last transfer occurred in 1968. We moved out to California. We're all very happy to come back to California. Most of my family at that time lived there, and so the immediate family. And so my dad had an expense account, and he had 6 weeks off to make this move. He had a company car and nothing but time on our hands. You'd think that, what would you do with that? Enjoy yourself, take some detours, see the country, go to the Grand Canyon, stop in Utah and see the national parks, go to the Gateway Arch. Was that up in 1968? Yeah. And what did we do? What do you think we did? Yeah, why? Why did we take a straight line to L.A.? We had to get there. We have to keep going. We have to get there. And when we got there, it took 5 weeks for the furniture to show up. We spent 5 weeks in the motel with nothing to do. And you know what? My dad got nagged about it for years. He got what he deserved on that one. We missed life because we were so focused on what I had to have done, and it was the wrong thing. You know, on the one hand, we never lose sight of our goal, which is heaven. If I get off track, Lord, there's no reason why anybody here shouldn't have that as their goal. God wants us to go to heaven. Sometimes we get off track. We commit a mortal sin even. But we have this sacrament, and the minute we are sorry, and if we have a mortal sin, we go to confession, and God puts us right back on track. He can't wait to bring us back. This goal, and we really need to keep that in mind as we go through life. We always remember our goal, but on the other hand, life is when we get off the freeway. Sometimes it's a detour. You know, you go on the back road, and that turns out to be the most interesting part of the journey. But we didn't learn that, and that's the opposite of my experience 2 weeks ago. And life really is a journey. Jesus is constantly on the road in those 3 years of the gospel. St. Paul is constantly on the road. And you and I are on the road. And we have the Trinity to guide us. And one day we'll see the Trinity in its fullness. And when we do, we will discover that the Trinity is a relationship of three persons, and we're invited into that relationship. This is why none of us can really exist and be a full human being alone. This is why God puts people of need in our path as a church, as individuals, in families, at work. We get tired of it, don't we? We want everything to go our way. We want everyone just to like us or to do what we want. But we wouldn't grow if that was the case. There have to be inconvenient situations and people. We have to go through these painful things. And some of them, it's not a complete answer. But if we look back in the mirror, if we're on the road again, to use that same analogy, things begin to look a lot clearer as we go away. That God did have a plan, that this suffering did bring me endurance. I did survive. It was hard. But now when other people come to me, I've been there. And when I see Jesus, I've shared something with him because I've suffered too. And injustice. I didn't deserve it either. Maybe I did deserve it, but Jesus didn't. But I've shared it with him. What have I got to share with Jesus if I get everything my way? He certainly didn't. What have I got to share with Jesus if I don't run into people of need along the road? He did constantly. What have I got to share with Jesus if I don't see God's will in the detours? Didn't he say in the Garden of Gethsemane, "Father, save me from this hour. Please, I don't want to get off the freeway here. But nevertheless, let your will be done, not mine." So on this Trinity Sunday, St. Paul gives us a trinity of graces that come with trials. Perhaps one day, I'm preaching to myself here, one day we might even boast and rejoice in our afflictions because we've come to realize that my affliction has produced endurance. My endurance has proven my character. My character, which has been proven, now gives me hope. Hope that God does have a plan, that he's given me his spirit, that he has given me eternal life, that I know that I'm loved, and I know the destination that God has for me.